Today is session 9, and I actually had to count to make sure I'm on track here. It's session 9 of the Identify Your Ideal Career Path Coaching Group. Today is April 16th, 2009, and so far we have Paul, LaToya, and Angie on the call today. And today's call is about finalizing your career purpose statement. That's the first piece. And then we're moving on to the enjoyment or fun portion of the satisfying career model, or excuse me, the kick-ass career model is my new name for it. So we're going to be focusing today on the enjoyment piece of the model, okay? So has anyone else joined us that hasn't yet checked in? Okay, so we've got a small contingency today. All right, so let's what I wanted to do today is do successes, learnings, and challenges, like we talked about, but also get quickly from you guys what you all learned the most, what's the key point that you took away from our individual calls, because I think that it's interesting. Everybody will ask a different question, and I think that we all can benefit from what you guys got out of each of our individual sessions. Then we will check in on our homework and talk about your purpose statement, and then dive into the enjoyment piece of the model, and I'll coach somebody on what this, how to answer those questions and what they all mean, okay? So let's just go around the room here. The biggest thing that you guys took away from our individual calls, just tell us what you would say, you know, and how you're applying it. So, Paul, let's start with you.
Uh-oh. You sure you want to start with me?
I know. You know what? Here's why you get screwed, Paul, is because you're at the top of my list of my roster, and so you always get screwed.
Great. So what's the question?
The question is the biggest thing that you learned from the call that you and I had individually that you took away from it.
Well, I guess, you know, there were a lot of things, but the I've been having just doubts about in looking for a position in banking right now, which is what I'm trying to do, and the turmoil in the industry and the just dealing with the day-to-day rejection of people having hiring freezes and things of that nature. Just, I guess, having reassurance that I'm not, I don't know. It does a little mind trick on you. You start to doubt your skills, I guess.
Yep.
And
yeah.
And so your reassurance was helpful to me, because it is very frustrating.
Yeah, and it's so hard not to take it personally and feel,
yes,
like, what am I doing,
yeah,
wrong?
Right.
And or what's wrong with me? Like, either the actions that you're taking are wrong, or what's wrong with me that people don't want me?
Right.
So thank you for sharing that, Paul, because I know it's hard.
Yeah.
And so I want you guys to keep this in mind, too, especially with the economy the way that it is. It doesn't mean that you can't make a career change now. I just read a Time magazine article about how now is the best time to start an online business, you know, and just thought it was interesting. I mean, with the Internet and everything, it's easier to do that. But but it's easy to take this stuff personally. And so, like, Paul, what I would add to what we talked about, too, and this goes for everybody, remember the concept of gremlins and how these guys can creep in at the most inopportune moments. And that might be part of what's going on for you, is gremlins are starting to pop up and say, you know, oh, well, are you sure? You know, are you doing things right? Is it really about you? And you need to just be aware of them and manage them, and kind of take a step back and realize that gremlins are going to pop up throughout this whole transition process for everybody. It's very common. This is the tough part about career transition like this, is it can be an emotional roller coaster, in that you're like, woo, I'm so excited about this idea. And then you're like, oh, crap, how am I going to make this happen? And then you find a way to make it happen. You're like, oh, okay, cool, this sounds great. And then it's not as easy as you thought. So just know that this is all really normal. And part of what we're going to talk about closer to the end of the group is how to manage this up and down, you know, beyond the group, like how to really manage this. And the tool that you guys have right now to do that is the gremlins. And so use it as much as you need to. All right. So, LaToya, you're next on my roster. So what would you say the biggest thing was that you took away from?
My biggest thing was that I had to feel the purpose statements. I was just writing down purpose statements, and when you ask the question, like, how did it make me feel, that I really feel gung-ho about it, and when I had to honestly know. So that was a big wake-up call for me, that I had to really feel my purpose statement.
Okay, good. Were you able to work on another one?
No.
Okay.
So I went back and listened to the visualization techniques and went back and did everything. And then I started getting frustrated, and I couldn't come up with anything, so I had to stop. So I'm going to revisit it again.
Okay. Send me an email, too, with, like, the draft that you came up with that, you know, didn't feel as great. And send me your must-haves and your values, and I might be able to help you brainstorm some ideas.
Okay.
Will you do that?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Because it is. This is stuff that's real intangible and can be hard for people. And, LaToya, your point is really good about the purpose statement isn't something that you're like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. It's like, oh, yeah, that sounds cool. That's really what I want to do. You want to be jazzed about it, and you want to feel good about it. Like, have that energy behind it. Okay, Michael, how about you from our individual call, biggest thing?
Well, it was two things that I need to pretty much take a break.
Yep.
And then just, you know, once I take a little quick little break or whatever, create a plan.
Great. And do it step by step.
Yes.
Take things step by step. I want to piggyback on this because I think it was Kelly who this was had a similar call in that you don't have to do all of this at once. Like, I think it can be very overwhelming for people when they're thinking about ideas and they're like, okay, so I'm supposed to go do it tomorrow or it's supposed to happen in the next couple of months. And I want you guys to remember that this is a methodical step-by-step process. It doesn't have to happen that way. If you look at, for my transition from very beginning to of not knowing what I wanted to do to having a coaching practice that would actually pay my bills, it was 4 years. And I don't want that to be depressing and for you guys to think, oh, my gosh, it's going to take forever. But what I want you to get is that it's just take it step by step because it can be very overwhelming for people to think, okay, there's this pie in the sky thing that I want, and, oh, my gosh, how am I going to get there? Because it's so big and overwhelming. And the way that you get there is step by step, okay? So, Angie, how about you?
I think the biggest thing I took away was that instead of trying to find an immediate kind of short-term tangible answer is to use this process, the 6 months, to pay attention to my intuition and dream more.
Good. And were you able to do that a little bit more in the past few days?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
I think my impulse is really strong to have a clear direction and make decisions, so it's hard to stop that.
Yeah. It's kind of like that's your habit, and it's what you fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing bad about that, because clear direction and having it be tangible, really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's developing this other muscle for your intuition. It's kind of like you got to go work it out at the gym, and that's how it's going to get stronger. Perfect. Thanks for sharing, guys. All right, so any successes, anything anybody want to say about, woohoo, this is something I learned or achieved? Nothing? Absolutely nothing? I mean, we know what Michael's challenge is, so we've gotten it.
Yeah, gremlins.
So any successes at all or learnings or, like, insights?
This is LaToya. I had a little success.
Mm-hmm.
I am a certified coder, so my teacher had contacted me the other day who I was in the course with, and she asked me if I wanted to do some travel coding, where I would go from state to state with a particular company and do coding projects for different hospitals and medical facilities. And I told her, yeah, I would be interested. So she set me up with a recruiter, and I have to take a test to see how that goes. And in a strange way, I'm excited because I get to do something different, which is traveling. So that's the variety that I've been looking for in a job.
Yeah.
And I won't be in one place consecutively like I am from my job Monday through Friday.
Would this be full-time?
Yes. And then they also do have part-time opportunities. So when I get to move closer to my dream job, it'll be easier for me to transition as well.
Oh, my gosh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Latoya, that is awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Really nice, like, because you've been wanting to get out of your job, and I was nervous
yes.
about you going to teach, so this could be something that's much more solid. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really big one. I think that's a big one. It is not small.
Okay.
That's a big deal, especially because this has the flexibility where you can do something part-time while you're doing your other thing. That is great.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. And so I think, you know, what's interesting about Latoya's story is she has this experience or this expertise that's something that she can kind of fall back on, or it gives her some other avenues to pursue while she's pursuing the dream job, and that's perfect. Okay, so it's really good learning, I think, for everybody to think of, you know, if you're that unhappy in your job now, what else could you be doing that would be a little bit easier and maybe a little bit better fit while you're transitioning into the ideal. All right, so let's move to challenges. So besides Michael and his personal challenge, anybody else have any challenges? Like Latoya, you said the purpose statement, so we can deal with that.
Yes.
A little bit.
Oh, you want me to talk about it?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
I was actually thinking as you asked that question. So what is it that you're stuck with, and let's see if we can help you out. Is it just that you don't come up with anything? I mean,
I come up with things, but I keep falling back to, I'm making it relate to the career industry or field that I should be in, instead of making it, I guess, more broad and relate to my values and
mm-hmm.
must-haves.
Well, It kind of reminds me of Angie's situation a little bit. So Latoya, let me ask you this. The should be in, is that a career one that you would enjoy and that might be a fit for you?
Yes, I believe so, yes.
Okay. So then I'm just trying to think of how to explain this. If that job, the job that you should have, see, when you say should, that's a red flag for me, because usually shoulds come from other people, and it's like, you know, it's another voice in your head telling you what you should do as opposed to what you really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So what might be, maybe this is how you can approach it. You might be able to write a few different purpose statements, because remember, this is kind of a work in progress. You might be able to write a few different purpose statements for your different career ideas.
Okay.
And then see which one of those seems to fit best for you and makes you the most excited.
Okay.
Or kind of even blend them together. So you can do it a little bit differently. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So try that. And Angie, that may or may not help you. I don't know if, you know, your situation's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a possible idea for you, is to kind of go at it in a backwards way, and like the back door, and say, okay, this is what I think might be a good fit for me. Let me write some purpose statements that are kind of geared towards that and see which one of those seems to be the best fit.
Okay.
And makes me the most excited. That might be another way to do it. Remember, there's no exact right or wrong way to do all of this stuff. I mean, there are some ground rules and guidelines, but you just never know. So why don't you guys try that and then let me know what happens.
Okay.
Okay. Because I think, Latoya, I was getting hung up on the word should. And should in coaching is a bad word, because usually it's not what the client wants. It's they're doing something that someone else thinks they should do, and that's why it's bad.
Okay.
Okay, so okay. I was getting hung up on that, and that might have been part of the problem.
Okay.
All right, so anybody else having any challenges they need to bring up and get help with? Okay, so let's move to the purpose statements and just check in on those because I want to make sure you guys are on track. besides LaToya and Angie, so Paul or Michael, how are you guys doing with your purpose statements?
Well, this is Michael. I've gotten one, but I don't know if it's necessarily – I don't have it with me since all this stuff has come up in the past couple of days.
Sure.
But I have it on my computer. I've been meaning it to send it to my office computer.
Mm-hmm.
But a purpose statement that I think I can massage into a career purpose statement.
So you feel like you've got something and you just need to work on it a little bit more?
Yeah, I think I got a life purpose statement.
Mm-hmm.
Necessarily a career purpose statement yet.
Okay. Do you remember what it is at all?
No, unfortunately not.
Okay, that's fine. Okay,
I created it during my my coaching stuff with my school.
Oh, cool.
So, and that was back in the first part of the school. So I'll try to forward it and make sure I have it for the next meeting or something.
Okay, that sounds good. So let's say that. And then if you need to send it to me to check in on it, that's fine, too. I can take a look.
All right.
Okay, and Paul, how about you?
Yeah, I kind of took a different way of doing this, I guess. I broke down a purpose statement into 6 or 7 categories, like, physical, career, family, financial, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
And then tried to have a purpose statement for each one.
Oh, wow. Okay, and so the career one, what did you say?
Well, basically, I said that I could see myself pursuing research and teaching at the university level.
Pursuing research. Okay.
So and pursuing a PhD or a master's degree.
Okay. And, Paul, what would be... Why are you saying that for yourself? Like, what would be fulfilling and rewarding about that for you?
I think the investigative research, reading and writing are my strong suits.
Yeah.
And I have done a little bit of teaching in my past. And
did you enjoy it?
And I can see myself doing that in the future, and I can, it's a big change from the type of work I've done the last, 10, 15 years.
Right.
And much more, for me, more rewarding, I guess.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Definitely.
Okay, and why would you say that?
I don't know, because I think it makes better use of my talents.
Ah, good.
Whereas I feel like where I'm at right now, I kind of know where I can go in my career in banking, and it's just not where I want to be 10 or 15 years from now.
Yeah, when you see the trajectory in the future.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
That's perfect. Okay, I love that. All right, so the purpose statement is something around the pursuing the research teaching, and I want just everybody to notice here what he picked up on about the investigative, the reading, and the writing. Those are talents and also interests for you, right, Paul?
Yes.
And that when he thought about, the long term, where he was going, it's like, ew, that's 20 years. Nuh-uh, that's not where I want to be. And so it's better use of your talents is important, too, because when – if you are not using your natural talents and abilities – to their fullest capacity at a job, that job is not going to be rewarding for you. So it's a fact, they've done studies about this, that people who are using their natural talents and abilities at work are more fulfilled at work. It's just a fact, because otherwise you feel like you're just kind of wasting that. It's like you have a gift to give or something, and it's not being used. Okay? So you'll notice on the career model that talents is one of the circles, and that's what we're going to get to for next time, too, okay? All right, Paul, thank you for sharing. Does anybody have any questions for Paul about how he got to this, or? Career ideas or anything? Okay.
I can tell you how I got to it.
Yeah, you know what? Why don't you?
I've been battered. I mean, I've been on the commercial side of banking, and the amount of turmoil and the mergers I've been through, it's just been being ricocheted from one thing to the next, and not having stability.
Yeah.
And some confidence that, you know, that you're going to, you know, you can do a bang-up job really great, and it doesn't matter because the bank gets bought out or they merge with another bank or,
right.
You know, I've been through probably 6 or 7 mergers in my short career.
Yeah.
And really, it's only been 15 years.
Oh, my gosh, that's a lot.
So, yeah, you know, so you have, there's no consistency.
Right. And so that's one of the things you're looking for.
Absolutely.
Which is part of why you're choosing this. That's great, Paul. Thank you. It's funny because when I said that, I'm like, that's a good question. So I'm glad you just answered it for us. That's perfect. So it's kind of like, Paul, for you, that at one point in your life, that value of stability may not have been there at all or as strong for you. But it sounds like now you could almost call that a value of stability, especially now that you have a son. That there's something that's more important about that. And so I want you guys to all realize this, too, that your values are going to change over time. And the things that you wanted in your 20s are going to be different than, you know, what you want in your 40s. And so think about your values in that sense, too, that, you know, just because maybe you didn't value something before and it's now on your list, that's okay. And you have to, you know, think about those kinds of things in terms of your future and where you want to be going. Okay, so if we don't have anything else on purpose statements, let's close those out. And then, so for LaToya and Angie, I just want you guys to keep me posted on how your purpose statements are going, okay, because we're not really going to bring them up again, you know, unless it comes up from somebody else.
Okay.
And then for anyone who's listening to the recording, if you guys are still struggling with this, get in touch with me, send me an email, and we can flush it out. Okay, so today we're moving to the enjoyment piece of the model, and this is, like I said before, where it gets a little easier with the homework, which is good news for you guys, I'm sure. So the enjoyment piece is at the very top of the model, and one of the homework assignments last time was to look at the four questions at the bottom of page 29. So here's what I want you guys, this is what this is about and why this enjoyment piece is important. That you can enjoy what you're doing in your job, and you should be able to, okay? That it can be fun and rewarding. And now, it doesn't mean that it's 100% fun all the time. I mean, there are times when I would rather not work at all. You know, even though I'm passionate about my job and love it, I still sometimes would rather go on vacation. I mean, come on, let's be real, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the stuff that... this job is so much more fulfilling and rewarding for me than anything I've ever had. And the things that I don't like about it are far overshadowed and outweighed by the things that I like. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just want you guys to keep this in mind that it's, yes, you can have something that's fun and that you enjoy doing. It doesn't mean that it's 100% peaches and cream all the time, but that you do have a sense of this is fulfilling and rewarding for me. And, yeah, overall, I really do enjoy what I do. That's what we're going for, okay? The other thing to think about is, and I'm going to work with at least one, maybe two people on this today, so think about who's willing to jump in and participate here. The other things to think about when you're thinking about what you would enjoy in an ideal job is what would you enjoy doing professionally all the time, okay? There's a difference between stuff that you enjoy doing personally and that you rather, you know, I wouldn't want to do that professionally, and I'll give you a quick example. I love horseback riding. That's one of my, like, outlets. But I do not, just because I enjoy that, I don't want to go work at the barn. Like, I have no interest in doing that. And actually, if I went and worked like at a summer camp, you know, teaching people how to ride or something like that, it would take the fun out of horseback riding for me because I don't want to do it 8 hours every day. You see what I'm saying? So you need to be thinking about things, and we'll go through these questions, but when you look at your answers to these questions, you have to like kind of do a litmus test for yourself and say, okay, so what of these things could I do all day, every day, and still really like it? Versus what are those things that it might take the fun out of it for me? Okay? And the other thing that you need to be doing with the answers to these questions is thinking out of the box, because you might write down some things like, I've got a client who she loves volunteering at PAWS, which is, you know, for an animal rescue shelter, I think. Maybe it's just for dogs, but I think it's for all animals. And just because she loves doing that, though, doesn't mean she wants to go work there. Like, that would take the fun out of it for her. So one of the things that she wants to do is volunteer her personal time there. But she also, her background and interest is in marketing and advertising. And so the way she's kind of translating this thing about PAWS that she enjoys into career ideas is saying, you know, ideally I'd like to work at an agency that works with some nonprofits. And, for example, that I might be able to, you know, suggest to them that we do some pro bono work for PAWS, and she could, you know, help put on an event for them to help them raise money. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Where you have to kind of think creatively here about the things that you enjoy doing. Don't just take them literally, because if you take them literally, you'll be like, oh, well, I don't want to do that. And plus, it might be I can't make any money doing that, right? So let's look at the questions. So the four questions were what you love to do so much that when you do it, time passes quickly. What do people come to you for help with or advice on? What did you love to do as a kid? And what would you love to do more of if you were better at it? Okay. So who's willing to jump in here and play with me for a second with your answers to these?
I can.
Okay. Go, Michael.
Well, what do you love to do so much that when you do it, time passes quickly? To me, when I was in college, entertaining folks, you know, whether it be grilling out or throwing parties, that was fun. That's what I enjoy doing. You know, creating new innovative products and services. I found that research, and, you know, the hard part is getting people that I don't have say-so to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
That's the hard part of that. But other than that, that was fun because I'm creating new things.
Okay.
What do people come to you for help with or advice about? Unfortunately, it's funny since, well, I'm not really single. I am in a relationship, but people usually, when I was in college, come to me for relationship advice when I was always single.
Oh, that's funny.
That, you know, because I would shoot them straight and say, you're in the wrong relationship.
Okay. Oh, so that's why you'd be direct and honest. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what did you love to do as a kid? Play in the dirt and build little random tree houses.
I love it. It reminds me of the – wait, hold on, Michael. It reminds me of the picture of you on Facebook.
That would be my little niece? Yes.
Wait, who is it?
That's my little niece.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. I thought it was you as a kid or something.
Oh, that's my little niece.
Oh, sorry.
They were there's a story behind it that they were changing her. And then I was like, I want to take a redneck picture of her. So that's how it ended up, her sitting on the floor.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay, so playing in the dirt and building tree houses. And what's the last one?
You want to do more if you were better at it. I would say managing people
mm-hmm.
and, like, consulting people that are going through change,
okay,
whether it be an organization or small business.
Gotcha. And this is something you've talked about before.
Yeah, that's what I've really started thinking about, you know, pursuing, because it gives me a little bit more oomph to the intellectual side.
Yep.
And then also give me a voice to, you know, once they see change happen, you know, in a good way,
mm-hmm,
or see results of the change, then they'll start turning to me more.
Okay. All right, good. Okay, so I want everybody on the call to answer these questions. So the questions that I'm going to ask Michael, I want you to start answering them for yourself based on your the answers to these questions. Okay, so just kind of go through this with us. So, is there anything, Michael, from answering these questions overall that like jumped out at you in terms of, oh, this wasn't an idea I had thought of before, or it validated some other ideas? Anything kind of new that you got out of answering these?
Well, I've always enjoyed, well, my retirement career is to create an adventure center or an outdoor recreation center.
Yep.
But dealing with the outdoors has always been interesting to me. I just never knew where I could fit in to working in the outdoors.
Okay, so here's something that's cool about what you just said, is this entertaining people is something that you enjoy doing. And also you talked about creating new products and services, like creating some new type of venue that's outdoors that facilitates people going through change. Like I'm thinking of those ropes courses and stuff that they'll have people do.
Yeah, that's basically, but I have to, you know, there's one problem here. Is I have to figure out a financial way to get to that.
I know. And so that's where this practicality piece comes in. So, but what I want to point out first is how you're seeing some common themes here and how you can blend several of these things that you enjoy doing together. So
yeah.
The next question is, how do you get funding for it? Do you need to, like, identify some investors? Is it more that, you know, maybe you go try to work at one of these places on the side or something to learn more about the business and find out how these other people got started? Did they hook up with like a big corporation who was willing to fund it for them? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there's lots of different ways to find out how to do this financially, and that's part of what you need to brainstorm. And for you and for everybody else on the call, look at how you can combine things that you enjoy, how you start to see themes here, and that helps you come up with career ideas. So Michael, the entertaining people, it goes back to what we're talking about an outdoor venue where people are entertained but also learning and getting through some sort of change, maybe it's team building, that kind of thing. The creating new products and services, like this is like maybe you do it in a different, unique way that hasn't been done before, you know. That's just an idea. Okay, so with the relationship advice and being direct and honest, how does this play into ideal career ideas?
Well, that seems to be the problem that hurts me the most in the Atlanta metro area.
What?
The world, is being direct and honest with people. Because unfortunately, I found out that a lot of people in the environment that I work in are not necessarily direct and honest.
Okay. So.
And that finds me getting myself into more trouble by being honest and direct with somebody than anything in my corporate career so far.
Okay. So this is a somewhat of a challenge for you.
Yes.
It's a challenge, but it's also a gift because, I mean, people came to you for advice because of this as well.
Yes.
So it's interesting when you think about consulting people or coaching them through change, people expect you to be direct and honest when you're doing that. And
yes.
So that's one way that you could use this to your advantage in a field that appreciates that more.
Yes.
Does that make sense? You see in the connections?
Yeah, I just need to be in a position to be able to have that
yep.
coming out as initiating change instead of being critical.
Yeah. And there may be something there about, you know, number one, finding the right industry that they reward that and they want it, but also number two, you know, tweaking the delivery a little bit so that it comes across like that.
Yes.
Might be a little bit of both. Okay. Now, the playing in the dirt in the tree houses, that to me is like the outdoor stuff. I mean, you're not going to go build tree houses for a living. So, go ahead.
I said I could.
You could, but that's not what I'm hearing, at least.
Yeah.
So for the playing in the dirt in the treehouses is the way that it relates that, you know, doing some sort of outdoor adventure center or something like that?
Yeah, and basically it might be also just to, because that's where I go to relax also.
So that is also just the personal thing, kind of like riding horses is for me.
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, and then the last thing that I love to do more of, if you're better at it, was the managing people and consulting them through change. And we've talked about the consulting through change a little bit already. The managing people, and this goes for everybody, what you want to look at here is making sure that the thing that you want to do more of is something that you could learn, and it's a skill that can be developed. So, like, working on managing people, Michael, you can totally do that. That's something that you can improve upon. And the reason why I'm saying this is if somebody comes to me and, like, they're 5 feet tall or something and they say, well, I want to be a professional basketball player, okay, well, that's really not going to happen. Probably not, at least, right? So you need to think about, okay, are these things that I would love to do more of, are they things that I can develop? And if they are, think about how you can do that. So for Michael, for you, you know, it could be finding ways to, finding opportunities at your current job and even in your next job where you can work in teams more and be the leader of that team and managing people a little bit more so you can develop those skills or taking, you know, going back to some of the classes that you took through your MBA, you know, on this topic, those kind of things too. So let me just think here for a second. So, Michael, how, based on everything that we talked about just now, what stands out for you the most as something that's interesting or, like, new that you hadn't thought about? What'd you get out of this?
Basically, you know, to be honest and direct with you, it's things that I've always considered is the path of getting there.
Okay. So
always one of my weaknesses is probably execution.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what are the current ideas, and anybody else can jump in here too, what are some current ideas to finance this? I mean, and I'm not saying ones that you know you can do right now. I'm just saying brainstorm, you know, ideas like getting investors.
Yeah, getting venture capitalists, and angel investors, friends and family. Who knows, there could be some public government grants.
Yep. Grants or loans.
And then, yeah, some commercial loans.
Okay. And then one of the ones I said was partnering up with a corporation.
Yes.
That would fund it or do part of it or something that, you know, does this kind of team training stuff and wants to expand. Okay, so those are some ideas. So for you, Michael, it sounds like this is more validating what you've been thinking. But, yeah, you know, this, I'm on the right track. And part of the question for you is, what do you do in between? You know, knowing that you're not going to go do this tomorrow, you know, taking this step by step and the jobs that you need to have in between to pay your bills that can give you this experience, give you exposure to this industry, and move you towards it. Okay.
That is correct.
All right, cool. Okay, so everybody else, what did you guys, by doing this and looking at your answers, somebody else give me what they're thinking and what they got out of thinking about what they enjoy doing? Angie, how about you?
I guess I'm still a little vague on the, like, how this would show up in a career.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some consistent things, like I'm still trying to clarify, like, the health and wellness part. Do I really see myself doing that as a career day to day, or is it something that if I fulfilled in my personal life, that would be enough? Because a lot of how I answer these questions seem to be about having greater freedom and kind of control in my life so that I can do the things that are more healthy and have that kind of lifestyle, because I want that personally.
Gotcha. And so it sounds like the question for you is, are you gravitating towards this because you want it so much for yourself,
mm-hmm.
versus that you want to be doing this all the time?
Right. And maybe it's a combination of both. Like, it's something that where I'm using the skills that, you know, are planning, problem solving, and it's in that arena. But maybe I just don't know exactly what role it is yet.
Yeah, within the health and wellness field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So remember what we talked about last time, and this goes for everybody, that what you want most for yourself is usually what you want most for other people, and that's how you translate all of this into a purpose statement. So, Angie, for you, I think you're on to something when you're saying it's a little bit of both. That whatever it is you choose, you want it to be flexible enough, because that flexibility is important so that you can take care of yourself and do the things that you want. But that this is so important to you that it's something that you would want to help other people with too.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Does that sound fit well?
Mm-hmm.
And so the next thing to be thinking about is, like, you're planning, and I don't know if you would use the word strategizing or not, but you talked about the planning. And how do you do that in terms of health and wellness, but not necessarily doing it with people individually all day, every day, right?
Right, uh-huh.
Because that's what we had talked about, too. So it's like health education, maybe, creating educational materials. Maybe it's doing trainings, like, on a larger basis with groups of people instead of, you know, just the one-on-one, or developing those training materials. Stuff for, like, I don't know, I'm just thinking of the CDC and this woman I know who works there they just got all this government funding to try to figure out how to get restaurants and food producers to cut back on the salt content in processed foods, and it's this huge thing. And so I'm not saying that's exactly what you want to be doing, but I could see, like, something with the CDC, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
With planning for health and wellness, too, as an idea.
Okay.
So when you look at all of these, the answers to these questions, the health and wellness, is that the biggest theme, and is that also what people come to you for help with and advice on?
Yeah, sometimes. But I feel like I have a similar struggle as Michael does as far as the outdoors part.
Yeah.
And it's connected to the health and wellness, where, like, at one point I thought, you know, I know that I don't want to do this, but, like, a park ranger where you're outside, and it's more kind of, I think there's a contemplative side that I have. That's what I did as a kid, mm-hmm. kind of daydreaming sort of stuff. And the naturalist, herbalist interests
mm-hmm.
are more maybe non-traditional than just, say, health.
Yeah.
Health and wellness. So it's trying to figure out what's something that complements the interest in the outdoors, where I feel like I can make a living mm-hmm. and it supports my lifestyle.
Do you think that all of that might be more stuff that you do personally and you'd be okay with it?
Yeah. I mean, I think that might be where it has to reside.
Yeah. And so and this goes for everybody here. I think, Angie, this is a really good point about, like, if there is stuff that you really, you know, I don't know how I could make a living doing this. And like for you, Angie, it sounds like if you did go be a park ranger or something like that, it would only be one piece of the whole puzzle. Like you'd be missing all this other stuff that you'd want to have.
Definitely. Yeah.
You know, like maybe the planning and the strategizing and the more intellectual part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that wouldn't necessarily be ideal, and you would just be picking it just because of this outdoor thing.
Mm-hmm.
That if you can say comfortably, you know what, yeah, I would only be choosing that because of one reason. You never want to choose a career path only based on one thing. You want to have it be several reasons why you're picking it.
Mm-hmm.
So that doing this health and wellness and being able to do this other stuff, the outdoorsy stuff on the side, if that's cool with you, then that's probably the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you got to pay your bills and you need to find a way, too, to make money at it. And the health and wellness, it seems to me, it incorporates many different things about what you're wanting. It's not just one piece.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, and it gives, I think, the flexibility to develop within that field, so I'm not locked into one.
Yeah, and that's good, too. So for everybody, thanks for sharing, Angie. So for everybody, think of, you got to kind of think about your life here as like a puzzle where you're fitting these pieces together, and we're looking at the piece of career and how that fits into everything else with the values that you came up with and what you want your life to be about. So think of it as a puzzle, and remember that some of these values and some of your interests belong in the personal realm, and that's okay as long as you are comfortable with that and you feel like that's going to be fulfilling enough for you. So, like, my example of the horses, that's personal, and that's where I want it. And the example of health and wellness as a value for me, that's not something that I want to do all day, every day. It's just something I really want to do in my personal life, and that's it. And that's fine. That's completely fulfilling for me in that box, okay? Okay, so does anybody have any questions about this? I guess part of, if you have any questions, but part of this is I want to know if it was helpful for you guys. Did you get some insight for yourselves out of answering these questions?
I did.
Okay. Michael, you've already thought about it, so for you it's more the implementing. LaToya and Paul, how about you guys?
For me, I'm having a hard time deciphering what it is I need to pull out of the answers because it seems like I'm all over the place.
Okay, so let's help you for a second. do you see any themes? Or is it all different stuff?
The one big theme I see is creativity.
Okay. All right, and give me a couple. What are the other, like, two other things that you see here besides creativity?
That's all I can get.
Well, so not for themes, but give me two other, like, what do you love to do so much the time passes quickly? Give me one of those.
Okay, watching black and white movies and reading different blogs, whether it's about fashion, financial, women entrepreneurs.
Okay, so business, fashion. Okay, got it. All right, and what do people come to you for help with or advice on?
To bounce business ideas. I have a couple people come ask me about picking out an outfit or clothing, some relationship ideas.
Okay. All right. And then love to do as a kid stuff.
Act, read, and color.
Read and color. Okay. I want to throw this out to the group. What are the themes you guys see for LaToya? What would you guys say?
If people come to her for business advice, maybe some type of consultative role.
Mm-hmm. So there's this whole business theme, LaToya, between what people ask you for help with and what you're reading. Okay. So having your own business or like being an independent contractor or something where you're doing your own thing, even if you don't do it full time, like maybe with this coding, you know, where you're doing it and you're more independent, might be a better fit because of this whole like business sense that you have an interest in.
Okay.
Great, Paul, thanks. The other thing that I'm seeing is the creative and the fashion, which to me goes together, the creativity and fashion, because reading and coloring, I mean, reading, writing, coloring, those are creative things. And so I think there's something about, like, either you having your own business or being in a smaller, like, startup company or being, like, an independent consultant somehow that fits with the business sense. And obviously doing something with fashion and image as it relates to, you know, being creative with fashion and people's appearance and their image, because that's come up over and over again for you.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yes, it does.
You see how that works? Okay. All right. So, Paul, you were the only one we didn't really get to. How are you with this?
With the purpose statement?
No, with the enjoyment stuff, with the answers to the enjoy questions.
Well, I had written down as kind of, I was fine with it. I had written down answers to the questions.
Did it validate what you're already thinking?
It did.
Okay.
I guess one, you know, when you talk about, you know, some of the questions were, you know, as a kid, you know, what types of things were you involved in? And it made me realize how, I don't know, I was into all different types of sports and just all different types of activities. I was much busier as a kid than I am as an adult.
We all were.
Yes.
You slow down a lot.
Yeah, much more diverse in terms of the things I was, you know, my parents had me into.
Mm-hmm. And so what's the, like, what's the biggest thing that you got out of it? Is it mostly that it validates the things that you're thinking about?
It did, but it also, it made me realize, I guess, mistakes, but how I really, over, if you look over the last 10 or 15 years, I haven't taken the steps that I needed to take to be, and so now I'm like, okay, I almost feel like I have wasted time.
Okay.
To a certain extent.
Gremlin, focus on the future instead.
There you go.
And so the question would be now, what are you going to do differently? And part of this is taking a stand for doing something you really enjoy.
Right.
Okay, good. I sort of put words in your mouth. Is that okay?
No, that's exactly. I mean, I'm at the point now where I pretty much narrowed down the type of activities that I see myself doing.
Mm-hmm.
And now I just have to narrow it down even further to some specifics, and then the next step will be actually executing and making a commitment and following through.
Good. Okay, cool. All right. So let's go to homework for next time. And this is our third session for this month, so you guys have a couple of weeks to get some homework done and catch up a little bit. And I want to say something, too, that different people in the group, even just on the call today, you're in different spots in terms of knowing what you want to do. And so, like Paul, you were talking about executing and making it happen. And Michael, same thing for you. Go ahead and start thinking about those things. And if you want to bring questions up on the call about all of that stuff, bring it up. Just because we're not talking about that necessarily yet in the group, it's totally fine, okay? Because this happens where some, you know, people move through different parts of the group a little bit faster than others depending on, you know, what their situation is. So feel free to bring those questions up and work on those things as well in between. Don't feel like you have to wait. So homework for next time, number one, is debrief and talk to your buddy about the answers to these questions about what you enjoy doing, just to see about, kind of like we did today, any other themes that you see, any other possible career ideas that have come out of it, okay? And number two homework is do pages 41 through 45 in the workbook. And this is moving into the talents portion of the career model, where we're looking at your natural talents and abilities, identifying what they are, and how can you use those in an ideal career. So what does that mean in terms of your ideal career? Because you want to make sure that you're choosing something that you'll use your talents, and also which of those would be enjoying for you to be using, okay? All right, guys, so we're at time. Let's just real quickly, what's the biggest thing you're taking away from today? So, Angie, what's yours?
The biggest thing would be I think just answering that question about what I can see myself doing day to day.
Gotcha. Okay, good. Michael, how about you?
Back to the, I need to probably start focusing more on execution and bringing up questions on that.
Gotcha. Okay, good. Latoya?
Never choosing a career path based on one thing. It should be on several things.
Awesome. And Paul?
I just need to start being more specific.
Okay, good. All right. Thank you for your time, and good luck with your homework.